Before we come to our message this morning, let us seek the Lord's help in prayer. Our gracious Father, we ask once more for thy help. We find ourselves in that hour of need. We come to the throne of grace for the supply that we require. We need help in our understanding of the Word of God. And we request that thy Holy Spirit, who has penned and preserved these words, might now come and be our teacher. That the Word of God might be opened before us. That we might feast upon the good things of God. That we might find nourishment for our souls. And that we, Lord, might be instructed and aided in our walk with God. Come and help us now, we pray. Give help to preacher and to hearer. And may thy name be glorified. We ask in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me read together those words from Luke chapter 10, from verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. I'm sure you have noticed just how easy it is to become stressed through the everyday issues of life that press in upon us, that take our attention and our activity. And because we become so preoccupied with the things that need to be done, we end up neglecting the one thing that we should be doing. We end up neglecting our walk and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We become so burdened down with the stresses of life, so filled with worry about today and tomorrow, that our relationship with our Savior suffers. And we forget about him. According to the Mayo Clinic in the United States, they said that between 80 and 85% of the cases that they have examined, that the people who were brought before them were ill, either in reality or, they said, artificially, due to mental stress. Many of the cases, between 80 and 85%, either directly or indirectly, were there because of mental stress. I found that statistic staggering, and I did a little further research and came across an article in a medical journal, and it was entitled, Is Stress the Cause of Disease? And the article begins by pointing out that at the beginning of the last century, that scientists and doctors were concerned primarily with bacteria. That was the focus of their attention. But today, mental stress has replaced that as their greatest concern. And surely there has to be a better way to live than being stressed each day, worrying all the time. Corrie ten Boom said that worry was like a rocking chair, that it will give you something to do, but it won't take you anywhere. The Bible teaches us that God would have us to learn what is truly necessary, what is really important in life. And instead of being concerned about the fleeting things of this world, that we would be more concerned about the Lord Himself and our relationship to Him. That we ought to be consumed not with the unnecessary worries of this life, but with the Lord Himself. And with this in mind, the scripture that we've read this morning focuses our attention on that essential overcoming of worry and enjoying that personal and ever-deepening relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our story concerns two sisters, Mary and Martha. And they are very different in their temperament and in their personality. And it's those differences that provide for us a very powerful and practical lesson. It seems that Mary is to be found seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Martha is upset with her. She is busy in the kitchen and feels that Mary has neglected that which is important, to be found rather at the feet of the Lord Jesus. We want to look at this passage this morning. I trust the Lord will speak to us through it. And I point out to you firstly the fact that the Savior was in their home. Verse 38 says that it came to pass as they went, that is, the Lord Jesus and His disciples, that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. Now we often find the Lord Jesus in people's homes. In Matthew chapter 8, we find our Savior going into the house of Peter. Upon finding Matthew at the seat of custom, He calls him to be a follower and then goes to his house. In Matthew 9, we find the Savior going to the ruler's house. In Luke chapter 7, He goes to the Pharisee's house. In Luke 19, you remember how He called for Zacchaeus to come down out of the tree because he must go to his house. And so we find the Lord Jesus oftentimes in people's houses. But this home that He visits here in Luke chapter 10 was a very special home, because here the Lord Jesus was an invited guest. A certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. Luke tells us that Jesus and the disciples were passing through a certain village. It happens to be Bethany. And Martha and Mary and Lazarus, his friend, live in that village. And as they're passing through it, the invitation comes to the Lord Jesus and the disciples, come and visit us. And I was wondering, have we ever invited the Lord Jesus Christ into our homes? What a blessing it is to see families that have invited the Lord Jesus Christ into their homes. They have opened wide the doors and said to the Savior that He is an invited guest, that He is welcome in their homes. The preacher Campbell Morgan tells the story that shortly after he was married, and he and his wife had set up their new home, that they received a visit from his father. And of course it was their delight to show his father around their new house. And as he walked from room to room, he peered in and said, "Yes, very nice. But nobody would know, walking through your house, whether you belong to God or the devil." And Campbell Morgan said that that thought struck him deeply, and he made up his mind from that moment that there would be no room in his house that did not carry some message, whether in picture or in book or in tract form that would tell every visitor that came to their house that the Lord Jesus Christ was a welcomed guest. That it would become apparent to every visitor who came across their door that the Lord Jesus Christ was welcomed there. It's possible to have a nice home, to have it decorated with all of the finest furnishings, to have all of the latest gadgets, to have everything materially that the world has to offer, and yet not have the greatest blessing in our home, that is the presence of God. It ought to be our desire as Christian people to ensure that the Lord Jesus Christ is an invited guest, that he's a guest at every meal, that he's a common and familiar friend to the family, that he's one that we sit down with and commune with and fellowship with often, recognizing that he is that unseen listener to every conversation. Here in Bethany was a home where the Lord Jesus Christ was welcome. He was an invited guest. Let me ask again, is the Lord Jesus Christ an invited guest to our homes? Do we have a home that knows and loves and worships the Savior? More than being an invited guest, we find the Lord Jesus is an intimate guest. Because the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus was one of our Savior's favorite resorts. It seems that he loved to turn away from the fickle crowds and the hostile atmosphere of the day and find company and fellowship with these devoted friends. One commentator likened the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus as an oasis in an arid desert. That even though the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was also the Son of Man, and that he needed and enjoyed the warmth and closeness and fellowship that he found in this house in Bethany. It says in John chapter 11 and verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister." You see, the Savior was not only an invited guest, he was an intimate guest. They loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and he loved them. Sometimes we can have visitors to our home, and we might feel uncomfortable around. We are wondering how best we might accommodate them, and we're maybe counting down the hours or the minutes until they're gone. Well, that wasn't the atmosphere that the Savior found in Bethany. This was an atmosphere of great affection and closeness. And we want to ensure that the Lord Jesus Christ is not only living in our homes, but that he is loved in our homes. Better still, that he is Lord of our home. We should want our homes to be another Bethany for the Lord Jesus Christ. We find the Savior in the home. Now what else do we find in the home? We find two sisters. Verse 38 tells us of a certain woman named Martha who received the Lord Jesus into her house, and the next verse tells us that she had a sister called Mary. Now these two sisters are very different. And as you read the story that's set before us, we find that it's those differences that are emphasized. Mary is found at the feet of the Lord Jesus, listening to his every word. Martha is in the kitchen. Well, she's cooking up a storm for their invited guest. There were two young men who were talking, and they said, "Which of the two sisters do you prefer, Martha or Mary?" The young man had to think for a moment or two, and he said, "I think I prefer Martha before dinner and Mary after." Well, These are different sisters. They have different attitudes, different characteristics. Mary, we find sitting. We're told she's sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there she heard his word. Mary was a worshipper. And that expression here in verse 39, that she sat at Jesus' feet, carries with it some very distinct significance. It is firstly an act of worship to place yourself at someone's feet. It's putting ourselves in subservience to them and recognizing that the one before we bow has a superiority that we do not possess. You can picture the penitent coming before the Lord and bowing before. You can think of the citizen of the country who comes before his king, and he comes before his feet to make his petition. So it carries an act of worship. But it also is a picture of discipleship. Disciples or learners would take their place at the feet of their teacher, their rabbi, in order that they might learn from him and receive instruction. So, being found at the feet of another was a position of honor for the one who received it, but it was also a position of hearing. And Mary, as she's found at the feet of the Lord Jesus, is honoring him as one greater than herself, and is hearing his word as a keen learner and disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what's interesting is that when we come across Mary in the scriptures, she is always found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in Luke chapter 10, verse 39, we find Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. If you turn over into John's Gospel in chapter 11, we have the account of our Savior coming to Bethany upon the death of Lazarus, and when word is given to Mary that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, we read in verse 32 of John chapter 11 that then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Then in John chapter 12 and verse 3, after the resurrection of Lazarus, we find that the Lord Jesus is once again in their home in Bethany, and then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. Mary is always found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, when was the last time we were at the feet of the Savior? Either as a worshipper or a disciple. Mary could be described as one who wanted to get as close to the Lord Jesus Christ as she could, to be at his feet. I think of the Apostle Paul when he expresses that great desire to get as close to the Savior as he could. I wonder if he had Mary in mind when he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, Philippians 3 and 10. And I say that because that's what we find when we come across Mary at the Savior's feet, that I may know him. She sat at his feet and heard his word. How do we learn about the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we know more about him? By listening to his word, by reading the scriptures, by having them expounded to us, we learn more about the Lord Jesus Christ at his feet. What else did Paul say? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. When Mary fell at the feet of the Lord Jesus, her brother Lazarus had just died. And she came with the complaint to the Savior, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And Jesus answered her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." At his feet, she learned the power of his resurrection. Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The third time we find Mary at the Savior's feet, she is anointing his feet for his burial. For his burial. Remember when they began to complain that the ointment could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Jesus said, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this." The fellowship of his sufferings. She anointed his feet for his burial. Oh, that I might know him. Mary was a worshipper, found at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was seated at his feet. Martha, on the other hand, was serving in the kitchen. We're told that she was cumbered about, much serving. And where Mary is sitting, Martha is serving. Mary was a worshipper, Martha was a worker. She has opened the doors of her home to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find her busy preparing a meal for the Savior. We might give to Mary the description of one who is seeking to get as close as she can to the Savior, whereas of Martha we might say she's one who is doing as much as she can for the Savior. Now there's often a great deal of criticism leveled against Martha, much of it uncalled for, because we need the Marthas in the churches today. If we didn't have Marthas, there would be nothing that was ever done. We need people to work and to labor and to visit and to preach and to teach others and to help in the work of God. We need them. The church ceases to function without them. We need to have those that are willing to labor for the Lord. James Hastings, the preacher of a bygone year, said, "May there be a Martha and a Mary in each of us, a worker and a worshipper." So we find the Savior in the home, and we see the sisters in the home, but then the Bible tells us that there was a scene in the home. Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone?" She's busy in the kitchen. Mary's at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Martha's anxiety just bubbles up. You can picture her, can't you? Her face ablaze with stress, the beads of sweat that are forming on her brow. She's got a bowl in one hand and a jug in another, and she's thinking to herself, "Where's Mary? Mary, where are you? I need your help." And she passes by the kitchen door, and she looks into the living room, and there's Mary sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for a moment, she just loses it. "Mary, what are you doing? Can't you see that I need your help in the kitchen? Jesus, don't you care that Mary's making me do all the work? Tell her to get up and to come and help me, that I can get this food ready for everybody." Martha was cumbered about much serving. The word cumbered means to be distracted, pulled apart, pulled in different directions. She's agitated and frustrated. She's anxious The whole burden of the meal has fallen upon her, and rather than handling the work is handling her. And Martha reminds us that we can become frustrated even in the work of God. And instead of having peace and contentment and joy in that what we are doing for the Savior, it pulls us apart. And instead of it being a blessing, it becomes a burden. And we become cumbered about in God's work. And that reveals itself in how we deal with others. We become resentful. Martha is resentful of Mary. She's complaining about what Mary wasn't doing, that it all falls on me. She feels that Mary is doing nothing, that I'm doing it all. She's shirking her responsibilities, and it's not fair. But the problem wasn't really with Mary. The problem really was with Martha. She's lost her joy in serving the Lord. It's become a burden to her. It's become a task rather than a pleasure. And not only is she resentful towards her sister, but notice how she addresses the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, dost thou not care? What a terrible accusation to level against the Savior. To suggest for one moment that he doesn't care about those who work for him. And then she gives an order to him. Bid her therefore that she help. We are in no position to give orders to the Lord. And we need to be careful that in our worry and stress and anxiety, that we not only don't become resentful to other believers, but we have to be careful how we react before the Lord. So the Lord Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen the good part. Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. The word careful there means anxious. It's the same word we find in Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. It means don't be anxious about these things. Don't be worried about them. The story is told of Archbishop Trench, who was a very notable New Testament scholar. He has a book on the synonyms of the New Testament, that if you ever come across it, I suggest you get it and study it and read it. It will bless your soul. But he was a persistent worrier. And there was a particular time in his life that he was worried that he was going to lose all feeling in his limbs. He was convinced of it in his own mind. And one night he was seated at a very elaborate dinner when all of a sudden he blurted out before the whole crowd, "It's finally happened. It's finally happened. I haven't got any feeling in my right leg." And the lady who was sitting next to him said, "Your Grace, if it's any consolation, that's my leg you're pinching and not your own." You know, many of the things that we worry about never come to pass. Archbishop Trench never lost any feeling in his hands or legs or feet or any such thing. But he was worried about it. And many of the things that we worry about never happen. We think of every possible outcome and we concern ourselves about how these things are going to work out, when really all we should be doing is bringing it to the Lord, casting our cares upon him, and allowing the Lord to deal with it. Martha, Martha, thou art careful, troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. You've missed out on the most important thing, Martha. Now, there's something that we draw your attention to here. See, not only was Martha a worker, but Mary had been a worker too. The accusation was, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? There was a time that Mary had been working, but now she is worshipping. And I suggest when the Saviour says that Mary hath chosen this good part that shall not be taken away from her, that the Lord Jesus is referring to the fact that there was a time for work and now there is a time for worship. Yes, there is work that needed to be done, but there's also worship that needs to be given. And we as the Lord's people ought not to be so busy working that we miss the opportunities for worshipping. We both need to give out and we need to receive in. If I might paraphrase what the Saviour said, Martha, Martha, you're so worried and upset about the things that you're doing, but Mary has learned that she needs to take time at my feet. We can't always be giving out. We need to receive in also. August Van Vind said, those who take time to sit at the Saviour's feet will not serve him less, but they will serve him with freshness and with power that will make itself felt wherever it reaches. There must be a combination both of working and of worshipping. Yes, the Lord Jesus would appreciate Martha's cooking, but he also wanted her company, her fellowship. She needed to serve, yes, but she also needed to sit and to worship the Lord. Harry Ironside told the story of a man who lost his wife, and he was left to care for his only daughter. And he loved nothing more than at the end of a busy day to come home and to spend the evening with his daughter. They would read to one another. They would play games. She would sing for him or play the piano. And he found his greatest joy was to be found in the company of his daughter. Coming towards the end of the year, she excused herself one evening and said, "Father, I have something that I need to do in my room. Please excuse me." The next night, she said the same. And night after night, week after week, she excused herself after the evening meal, took herself to her room. The father, well, he hid his disappointment. And he eventually got used to not seeing his daughter and enjoying her company the way that he had previously. Until finally on Christmas morning, she came down to her father with a gift. And she said, "Merry Christmas." And she handed him a pair of crocheted slippers that she had made for him. She had spent each evening working on the pattern and making this gift. And his father, her father, with tears in his eyes, thanked her for the gift, knowing now what he had spent those evenings with. And he says, "These slippers, beautiful and comfortable as they are, I would have preferred your company." I think sometimes we need to be careful that we're not so busy doing things for the Lord that we forget to spend time with the Lord at his feet. We seek to please the Lord by serving him. And the Lord would have us take time and stop and pause and be still at his feet. May we not be so cumbered about with much serving that we become resentful of other believers and we become cranky with the Lord because of what we consider to be his lack of care or concern for us. May we find that needful part, the necessary thing, at his feet. May we find time each day to be at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ as a worshiper and as a disciple at the feet of Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious Father, we do pray that Thou would be pleased to write Thy word upon our hearts, that we might not be a people unnecessarily cumbered about with much serving, but may we seek to serve Thee and worship Thee. May we be busy in the work of the Lord, but might we also find time to sit at Thy feet and to know that needful part, that communion, that fellowship with Thyself. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.